Welcome to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats, the show for fishermen by fishermen. Today's show is brought to you by Enigma Fishing, Cast, Catch, Repeat. Visit Anderson, South Carolina, home of beautiful Lake Hartwell. Phoenix Boats, experience the difference. And by the Bass Anglers Sportsman Society. Now, here's lifetime BASS member, Tom Abraham.
Welcome to this week's episode of Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. I am Tom Abraham, your guide for the next hour as we feature the Bassmaster Elite Series and those looking to get into that exclusive group through the BassPro.com Open Series and the up-and-comers on the Carhartt Bassmaster College Series presented by Bass Pro Shops and the tens of thousands of Bass Nation anglers around the country competing on the local level, all with a chance to advance to the big leagues of professional fishing. The Bass Nation operates youth, high school, and college programs, including a Junior Bassmaster Championship, a High School National Championship, the College National Championship, and the College Bracket, leading to the Bassmaster Classic. The Bass Nation is at the grassroots of who we are, and for more information on how to become a member or to start a Bass Nation club, visit Bassmaster.com and click on the Nation tab. The best way to communicate with the show, to post your pictures or tell us your stories or just comment on the show, is to visit our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/BASS or on Twitter at Bassmaster and use the hashtag Bass Radio. You can also listen to all the shows at Bassmaster.com/radio or just hit the watch button at Bassmaster.com and click on Bassmaster Radio. Coming up on today's show, one of the busiest guys I know. This pandemic did nothing to slow down Ronnie Moore, who, when not crunching numbers on the Bassmaster Live broadcast of Elite Series events, is creating all sorts of video for Bassmaster.com, as well as hosting how-to segments with the pros. Ronnie is in the leadoff role today to discuss the new revised schedule and whose favor that may play into. Then, if there's going to be a pandemic that shuts down the outside world, why not have it happen right after the birth of your first child? That's exactly the situation Chad Pipkins found himself in, and he has used this time to bond with his newborn daughter. But he is ready to get back on the water and hopes to have a hot streak this summer like he did last year, and he's in the middle segment today. And then we head on out to Idaho, where 2017 Angler of the Year Brandon Polinek has been patiently working on his gear while not out whacking them on beautiful Coeur d'Alene Lake. He's in the anchor spot today. So grab a cup of coffee and jump on board as we pull this show away from the dock.
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. And joining us now, a guy that I got to think is the most busy pandemic guy in the entire Bassmaster universe, just about anyway. I mean, I've been following him on social media. He's had some time on the water. He's doing all this great content for Bassmaster.com with the team there as well in Arkansas. And he joins us now, Ronnie Moore from Bassmaster Live. Ronnie, welcome in. How are you?
I'm doing good, Tom. What pandemic? I don't know what you're talking about. I haven't been outdoors to look out the window yet to see if anybody's around or not. No, I'm just kidding. But we have been busy here. We've been knocking out plenty of coverage, keeping fans, you know, updated with what the anglers are doing during the break. And we're kind of just telling those stories that maybe we haven't had time in years past to tell.
It's been fantastic. I think the coverage at Bassmaster.com has been great. And look, it's been springtime. It is springtime still. This is the best fishing time of the year. Maybe fall is the best fishing time too. We'll talk about that in a moment. But, you know, so for the fishermen out there, really, I think that, you know, with a lot of people being quarantined and shut down, one of the few things they've been able to do is get on the water in most states. And another thing they've been able to do is spend a lot of time at Bassmaster.com watching all of these great videos and catching up on all of this great stuff. And, you know, so I think it's been a great service what you guys have done at the .com.
Well, I think that, yeah, it is a great time indeed, and to not only get out and fish, but it's weird. It's like, sometimes you need that extra break. Sometimes I feel like we have an Elite Series event too close to the Classic at the end. You know, like we want the Classic winner to enjoy his victory.
Yeah.
I think Hank Cherry's enjoyed it enough to want to get back to work. So no, it's been a good break. I've got to go out and go fishing, and now it's time for me to winterize my boat. Since when June kicks off, I won't be using it until December. So
yeah,
I guess I can summarize. I'll summarize the boat instead of winterize it, since it won't be. I'll be in the studio all summer.
It's going to be something here. Now it's going to be very, very busy beginning at Eufaula, June 10th through the 13th. And again, now this is a spring tournament that was moved, and Eufaula's been making a bounce back. There's no doubt about it, but it's going to be a different kind of water. It's off limits now to the elites, but it's going to be a different kind of deal in June there. I think it's going to be really interesting to see what kind of weights come out of Eufaula in June.
I 100% agree. I think that Eufaula would have been one of those events that could have hit that 100-pound mark for us in April. Being postponed to June, that's still a really good, solid time of the year, in my opinion. We haven't had one of those ledge fishing tournaments in a while. You know, we always run to the Tennessee River to have one of those offshore type events for largemouth, but we haven't had one not on the Tennessee River. And I think that Eufaula could line up to be something like that. I think that those offshore fish will have a chance to set up, and those anglers will be able to graph around and find them. But I think that there's plenty of shallow cover, and the way the weather's been, I think that those fish will still be up shallow. So I think there'll be plenty of, I think the winter will probably have to do a little bit of both. You won't be able to just sell out shallow or maybe find those golden schools offshore and be able to use those for all 4 days. That's the biggest thing in a 4-day event, is there's going to be a day that's not in your favor at least, and you're going to have to adjust. And so we'll see some guys that maybe fish offshore predominantly, catch a few fish off docks or a bridge or something like that to just spare them until their schools fire up.
And then it's going to get really interesting in July. I am from upstate New York, and you know, we've often sung the praises of how wonderful New York State fishing is. Of course, New York has been at the ground zero of this whole pandemic. More New York City, though. Some people don't understand just how different New York is downstate from upstate. But man, Cayuga Lake comes back on. This is a little bit of a surprise deal. Comes back on the schedule as the Sabine River will get moved to next spring. But Cayuga Lake, July 14th, back to back to back. Cayuga, the St. Lawrence River, Lake Champlain, and go ahead and add in the Eastern Open at Oneida Lake as well to make it four straight. What a run that's going to be in a part of the country that is just fantastic for bass fishing.
You're going to all of a sudden go from, oh, let's restart the season. We only have one Elite Series event under our belt with the St. John's River. We're going to jump in and do Eufaula, have another roughly month break, and then we're going to jump in. And then before you know it, half the season's done because you're going to hit those three elites in a row. I think it's going to be a little bit interesting. Every time we've gone to Cayuga, something else has played, whether it's been no smallmouth for some reason. Next event we go there, smallmouth factor. Then we go there again, and now it's a mix of both. I think that we'll see another Cayuga once again, and it's it always is a little bit different there, obviously, depending on how the grass grows based on the winter that New York's had in upstate New York. But then you go to the St. Lawrence River and Champlain. I'm glad to see Champlain on the docket. What's cool is we get a little bit of both. You get a little bit of largemouth, a little bit of smallmouth at Cayuga. You get all smallmouth at the St. Lawrence.
Yeah.
And then Champlain's going to be a mixture of both. And so I think that those 3 weeks right there will make or break some guys. We'll see some guys in the top five in AOI going into that 3-week stretch that are not in the top 20 after that stretch. So it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting how that plays out for the AOI halfway through the year.
And then, of course, Lake St. Clair as well to wrap up that whole northern swing, if you will. And do you think that, you know, summertime like that, we talked to Jamie Hartman last week. Now, he had not had a great history on Cayuga going back to his club days and, of course, then won there last year. But do you think that the northern guys, the Canadian guys, the Johnstons and, you know, the Gussie and that crew, those guys so familiar on those types of waters, those natural rivers and natural glacier-type lakes, do you think that they will have a distinct advantage in that grass?
I think that they it'll obviously help them that the northern swing is earlier in the season, you know, based on how the schedule lays out. It's always good when you can get a good one in your back pocket to get some really good points going for you before you have to go and explore some other untested waters like, you know, like we're going to see at the end of the schedule. But I think some of those guys, always hold out and try to survive for the first half of the year, and then really put in work at the smallmouth venues and the northern fisheries at the end of the season. Well, with those being kind of nestled right in the middle of the year, it'll be interesting to see how that carries them. And maybe somebody has a solid lead going into the southern swing, or where it's still neck and neck, and now they've got to prove their worth in the fall.
You know, and that was supposed to be the end of the run. I mean, the guys wanted to have a scenario where they were done in August. You know, the schedule was revamped for that, and I guess they say best laid plans, right? I mean, you know, here you go. This was going to be the year that everything was going to be put to bed by mid-August, and now all of a sudden we have a fall season. Almost 2 months, just about two full months off then at that point in time before heading over to the Santee Cooper area. Now, that's kind of over in your old neck of the woods there in South Carolina, hitting Santee Cooper October 8th through 11th. I mean, that could be – that's just a wild card, right? I mean, depending on how late a summer you're having, that could be really, really tough, or those fish could have the feed bag on.
Yeah, I think that this is going to be really fun for some Bassmaster Live fans, everyone who's tuning in to watch and see how it plays out. We haven't had a fall trail for the most part since the 2005 season. You know, when we switched over from the Summer Classic in 05 to having a Spring Classic in 06, they wedged in a fall tour there to make sure they had qualifiers for the next Classic just half a year from then. So for those guys, we haven't experienced that. We got a little bit of taste of kind of some fall southern fishing at Lake Ten Killer last year to almost end the season. So I think Santee Cooper and Chickamauga and Lake Fork, those places, it's going to be one of those maybe tougher grinds for two or three of the four-day events, but we're going to see some magic happen. We're going to see some techniques that we don't get to see play. We're going to see some guys, like I was talking about it with Steve Bowman the other day, and, you know, we could see a Rick Klun make a good charge for that Classic spot, you know, in the last three events of the year, because we know that he's a great angler when it comes to tough fishing. We know he's great with fall fishing. And so I think some of these guys that don't maybe put the rods up to start hunting in the fall will really start to see some of their fruits of their labor the past few years come to fruition these last three events. Because Santee, Chickamauga, and Fork all have big ones. Man, we're going to see big ones weighed in, but they're not going to be the easiest to catch. And so they're going to have to mix it up, and we're going to see some varied techniques for sure. People are definitely going to get some seminars just watching those 12 days of Bassmaster Live for those three events.
It's going to be fascinating, too, because of the quick turnaround to the Classic. The Classic field won't be being set until very, very late in the year like that. It's going to be really, really good stuff. Ronnie Moore has been our guest. Ronnie, keep up the great work. I know that you've still got some really cool stuff. We're going to keep checking out Bassmaster.com and some of these blasts from the past stuff that you guys are doing. And I appreciate you taking a couple of minutes to kick the show off today.
No problem, Tom. I'm excited for the year. I'm glad that Bassmaster decided not to cancel any events, and they decided to postpone them as many as they could. And we're going to wedge about 35 events into a six-month stretch instead of 35 in a 10-month stretch. So it'll be good. Plenty of bass fishing for people to watch.
That's going to be great stuff. Thank you, Ronnie. We'll be back with more Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio right after this on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. Now a chance to talk with a guy that, let me tell you something, he was about as hot as you can be. I mean, he stretched last summer where Chad Pipkins finished in the top 10 in, I think, 5 out of 6 tournaments between the Opens and the Elites. I mean, he was just as hot as anyone. And I'm sure he's chopping at the bit like everybody else to get to Eufaula and get things going here coming up in June. And he joins us now. Pip, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I am doing great. How about yourself?
I'm fantastic. You ever just like kind of daydream or maybe look at some of the old stuff at Bassmaster.com about it? Probably seems like 5 years ago when you had that stretch last summer when it was just fourth, fifth, sixth. I mean, every week you were right there.
It comes and goes quick. I'm actually in my office right now staring out the window, and I don't even need to look at a computer. Just, I see it through the window. But just all of us were so ready to go. Like, we relive everything we've done on Bassmaster, and you just it's just fuel for the fire because we are chomping at the bit. I don't know if that's good or bad. You get down and get rolling, might be fishing too quick, too excited, but we're going to find out soon because we are ready.
Now, we must say that, you have one of the great non-endemic sponsors in Douglas J. Salons, and you got that you know, you got that look, you got that flow going. I mean, you got that thing going on, but not so much right now. I mean, the salons have all been closed. You live in Michigan, where they put the lockdown of all lockdowns on in the country, and we saw that picture of you on Bassmaster.com, and goodness gracious almighty, when was the last time your hair was that long?
It's been a while, probably college days when I had some hockey flow, but it's, yeah, we're shut down. It ain't getting any prettier either. I'm up here. I haven't been to the haircut in my 12 weeks, and we got hair curling up in the back. It's getting wild.
Yeah. Are you going to be able to clean it up, you think, before June, or are you going to follow with that thing?
I'm just going to have to. If they let us go there, I'm going in for the clean cut and get ready to roll. But if we go to follow, we might have, my wife did cornrows one night. Might have cornrows, ponytails. we'll see what happens.
Get a Flowbee. You're not old enough to remember the Flowbee. Get the Flowbee and vacuum your hair and just let it cut it. That way we can.
If the fish like it, whatever it takes to make top 10s, I am in.
That's great stuff. And it has been frustrating for you guys in Michigan. It's such a great area for fishing, and of course the spring fishing, and things are really starting to loosen up there. But man, we saw that impassioned plea from Mark Zona and other anglers, because it got hairy there for a minute. I mean, they wouldn't even let you do anything as far as going out on the water, which didn't really make a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's one of those deals where obviously safety first, but man, you're not doing anything when you're out there by yourself with somebody in your household fishing. But then there's always somebody that overdoes it and kind of ruins it for the rest of people when you got 5-6 people in the boat high five and stuff. So it's like, just, it is what it is right now. Hopefully all that's behind us and we can get back to, you know, I was on Lake St. Clair yesterday. It's funny because all this stuff's going on, but as soon as you leave to go to the lake, you literally forget about everything. I rolled up to the ramp. Everybody there's got smiles on their face. It's just, nobody's like handshaking hot, but people are, you know, keeping their distance, but people are ready to go out and enjoy the fishing and the natural resources we have. And there was a bunch of boats out there yesterday. There was not a lick of wind, and you know, I had a blast. I had somebody in the back of my boat, and we kept our distance, and we caught a pile of fish, had fun, and everybody out there had smiles on their face. People in the boat just happy to get outside and enjoy the outdoors.
Cause
it was a while there where, yeah, it was like you said, a little hairy, stuck inside, couldn't do much. So.
I understand you been usually not a ton of time for you to work on your painting business, but I understand that you've been doing a little bit of that as well, passing the time here.
Yeah, they actually shut everything down. I couldn't do that for a bit, but we opened up last week, so I got some guys working, and we're rocking and rolling everywhere. It's been good. I mean, as far as a global pandemic is concerned, it's been, oddly enough, just good timing with what was going on in our life, having a new baby, being home for 6-8 weeks, watching her. She's doubled in weight since I've been home doing that. We also moved, so I was able to move into the other house, get some things finished and build shelf and actually move in, because when our season kicks off normally, we just get so busy and so overwhelmed with fishing.
Yeah.
Like a lot of other things get pushed to the back burner, which is, you know, good to have support with your wife and your family at home, but it would have been hard because we would have had stuff in boxes everywhere. But now we are moved in, and we are way, way ready to fish.
Yeah. Chad Pipkins with us, new baby Emery Ray. And, you know, my wife and I, we did that 9 times. And I took, we didn't know what was causing that. We stopped that once we figured it out. But I used to take great pleasure in trying to guess the weight, you know, like when they came out. Because, you know, you look at it as a fisherman, right? You look at it, I'm like, yes, 7.5 pounder. Ooh, that one looks like about 9 pounds, you know. So, you know, that's key, is when the baby is born. To try and nail the weight of the baby.
It's pretty hilarious, though, like going from, like, comparing it to fishing. When you see a 7-pound fish, it's an absolute giant. It looks like it's as big as your leg. It's a monster.
Yeah.
You see like a 6 or 7 pound baby, and you're like, oh my God, it's so teeny.
Yeah.
It's crazy how something the same weight looks so small, but it's been pretty special being home. So,
yeah,
it's been fortunate.
Well, there's always little blessings and everything that happens.
Little silver linings,
little silver linings there that come through in all of those. Are you? Let's talk about Eufaula for a minute, because that's the other end of the world from where you are. I mean, you're up there in 50-degree water, and I would imagine still in a spawn type of time. We're mostly post spawn now down here, and by the time you get to Eufaula, who knows? That's going to be a deep water thing or a ledge thing, and we've seen you with a crankbait before. We know you can do damage in that scenario. But have you had much experience at all on Eufaula?
I did go down. I fished an Everstart tournament a long time ago, or some tour open or something, but it was in early spring, kind of like it would have been.
Yeah.
And I did go down and scout just a day and a half on my way to Classic but the difference is when you're there, like, you're not fishing. I just drove, but I was looking for stuff where the fish would be in April.
Right.
So a lot of that stuff that I was marking, shallower brush and that, and staging things, well, that's going to be out of play. But it's just one of those deals where, you know, I haven't had a lot of experience there. I mean, I know what they should be doing, and it is what I like to do. I like to be off the bank fishing little targets and stuff. So it's, I feel like it's going to be kind of like it was last year when we went to Fork, you know, not having much experience. You just really need to pick a section of the lake that has what I feel like, what I like my style of fishing, and just go and do that. You know, that's kind of what I'm going to do. I know how I like to fish. So I'm going to go out and use my electronics a lot and put the Humminbird 360 to work and just find some targets. And that's my deal. And if it's going on, like, I feel like I can compete and, you know, have a good event.
Yeah. I was going to mention that you are known to be very good with your electronics. You got that Humminbird going. And of course that Minn Kota with the spot lock, that'll all be in play. I think guys that can dial it in quickly in those 3 days of practice, I mean, that's going to be a huge thing. I don't know how much casting you do and how much scouting you do, but for 3 days, probably going to burn a little bit of gas.
Yeah. And there's different events where you literally fish, you know, 90% of practice, like some of the grass fishing, you got to fish to find them. But like this kind of fishing, when there's no grass really that you follow, there's shore grass, but there's not like offshore hydrilla like it was when it was really blowing up. I think that's why the fish population is so healthy now. They had all that grass for years, and now all those fish are there, but the grass isn't. So they only got so many brush piles and places to hide. So hopefully we can, you know, do a lot of idling around it and find those places.
You know, and then the part of the new tour schedule is you lose the Sabine River and you gain Cayuga Lake. So you gained another northern glacial lake type of tournament. Three straight tournaments back to back to back in New York and then over to St. Clair. You got to be pretty excited. It's going to be like the old club days, really. I mean, you're not going to be that far from your neck of the woods for basically a month.
This is as good as it gets, man. Like I said, like I've been fishing well with the elites the last couple of years, you know, making better decisions. But the last 5 years with the Opens, I've fished really well. And part of it's, you know, fishing more experienced around waters I'm familiar with. A lot of it's just getting in and going out and putting in the work on these places. And it's really nice, like you said, when we're used to starting down south and we don't come up to our neck of the woods till like event 7, 8, 9. You know, now it's a different schedule. We're going to have two events in, and then this is going to be the first year ever that we've had. Literally, it's a half and half here. We've got half of our events are up north. And I'm going to be in New York for 4 weeks in a row with the Open. And I said, I want to win Lake St. Clair one day again. Yeah. But I still feel like I'm going to win in New York sometime. And I've got four places here that I'm very familiar with. And, you know, I've had some good events there, but it's just about connecting the dots on the tournament day. Like, you know, you're having a good event, you finish 5th to 15th, I think a bunch of the times up there. But you still, the right things have to happen to win, because there's so many guys that are good. Somebody that doesn't have any experience can just put in their time and work. And maybe they get out and find a magic grass bed and they're punching or doing whatever they're doing in that grass, and they bring in some big largemouth in New York or Cayuga or whatever, and you have a good event and finish 5th or 6th, but, you know, they take you to town and beat you up.
Yeah, well, Cayuga Lake is, that's my neck of the woods. That's a lake I cut my teeth on, did probably more bass fishing up there growing up than anywhere else. And I think it's going to be, I think Jamie had 80 pounds or so last year, and that was mid-August. This is a month earlier in July. I think the weights could be even higher at Cayuga Lake. I mean, you're not going to have an 8, a 9, a 10. You're not going to have that Lake Fork monster like you know, like you had caught in the past, but you're liable to have, you know, a boat full of 4s and 5s.
Yeah, that place is so special. The fish there are so healthy. I'll just be curious, you know, how the winter's gone. We have no winter, but we had a cold spring. So depending on how close those fish are to coming off the spawn, that's a very deep, cold lake. So they might not spawn till middle to the end of June. And there's a good chance those fish could be post-spawn, maybe be quarter pound light, half pound light, you know, maybe a little thinner. But the fun thing about it is that place is full of fish, and they're going to be eating and ready to fatten up. So, I mean, last year I think I had 23 or so the first day and caught a pile of fish. And it's going to be all the other days, you know, you're catching 25, 30 keepers a day, sorting through them. And I don't care who you are or where you fish, but when you get to put that many fish in your live, I'll get out the scale, call, and clip, like, it's an absolute blast. And then you still got the chance to catch those 5 and 6 pounders, too. I mean, it's definitely a special place.
What's it going to be like, too, making that late fall run to Tennessee and to Texas and fishing Chick in October and Lake Fork in the first week of November? I mean, it's really kind of exciting. It's different, but exciting.
It's going to be very exciting, because I think you're going to see literally a different group of guys do well. I mean, because there's been years, my worst year was in 16 when it was flooded everywhere we went. And you literally could, I think Swindle won angle of the year that year. And that was the year Swindle could put a dang jig jig on his deck and throw a jig every tournament and Hackney and like those guys, that's what they did. And I hate throwing it.
Yeah.
And now it's like you have a year like this where it's totally different, where it's going to be, you can catch smallmouth and fish off the bank, the next four events, five events actually, with Eufaula. And then we're going to get into fall fish. And that's just a different time of year where those fish aren't just holding on a lot of cover and moving into spawn and staging like that. I mean, they're chasing shad, they're suspending a little bit, some are out off the bank, and there's just, it's a different time of year and it's a different style. And I think you're going to see some different names up at the top this year, especially. You're going to see some northern guys. That top 10 angle, I got a feeling you're going to see some of them Canadians up there, hopefully some guys from Michigan. I think that's going to happen this year just with the way things play out.
Chad Pipkins has been our guest. Pip, take care, stay safe, and have a safe trip to Alabama. We'll see you down there.
I appreciate it, man. We are ready to roll.
I hear that, man. Good stuff right there with Chad Pipkins. Big year last year, looking for bigger things this year. All right, we'll be back with more right after this.
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
Now, welcome back, Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio, and joined now by Skeeter Pro Brandon Polinick, who joins us from his home in Idaho, where he has been hanging out, waiting for things to get restarted. I'm sure he's excited as anybody else is since he's come back to Bass. He did the one tournament, and it's been hurry up and wait, so he's probably as anxious as anyone, and he joins us now. Brandon, welcome to the show, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you.
What is Idaho like this time? It's been a while since you've hung around in Idaho during the spring. You're usually, in the south somewhere fishing tournaments.
Yeah, it's literally, no joke, been 10 years since I've been home this time of year in the spring and been able to actually fish and enjoy some of the beautiful weather that we get this time of year. You know, up here, it's springtime. Bass are still pre-spawn right now. Water's in the upper 50s. And things are good. Life is good up here. And so I'm really excited to get back on the Elite. But at the same time, it's going to be a lot harder to leave home this time of year than it is in January when there's a bunch of snow on the ground.
Yeah, and you would have been, this year the tour was going to wrap up in mid-August. And the guys kind of wanted that. And it was going to be a neat thing. You were going to be able to get back in what would be the heart of summer there. And not so much. It just, everything gets turned upside down. But that's just the way it's going to be, I guess.
Yep, and I'm okay with that. It's going to put a little damper on my hunting season. Mm-hmm. But I'm looking forward to fishing a lot of those lakes later in the year. I've actually never, just like I haven't got a fish up in, my part of the country in the last 10 years, I've also never fished down south in the fall.
Yeah.
Or very, very little. So I'm very curious and interested to see how those lakes turn out later in the year.
We don't have any elk or anything like that. We got pretty good deer over here, so bring a couple of guns with you and be ready to go. I mean, you have a minute in between some tournaments. Maybe you do a little hunting over this way, get your license and go.
Yep, definitely. That's definitely a possibility.
Yeah, it could happen. It's obviously everything just so different and so upside down. Now, Idaho has been, we just talked to Chad Pipkins, and he's in a state that they basically locked it down, like you couldn't go out to your mailbox to get the mail, I don't think. But Idaho's been, you guys have handled this whole pandemic pretty good because social distancing is not usually a big issue over there. Everybody's pretty much spread out anyway.
Yeah, we are pretty lucky in the fact that nearly everything kind of stayed open. We had a stay-at-home order, but they still allowed recreational outdoor use. We're a state that really promotes the outdoors, and so our hiking trails and our fishing and all that was still open. But they did have to end up shutting down a lot of the restaurants and things like that because we had other surrounding states flooding in and just creating a more crowded environment. So fortunately, we've kept all the outdoor activities open here. And things are starting to loosen up just like they seem to be around the rest of the country. Yeah. A lot of things starting to open up here. So
yeah,
27. So open up.
All right, 2017 Bassmaster Angler of the Year, Brandon Polinick, our guest. Spent a little time on Coeur d'Alene, have you, in the last month or so?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's been really, really good there. it's been pretty special this year. The water's not just absolutely flooded the banks and rushed up. And so there was a period of time there that the big ones were just showing up. Everybody was catching 6 to 8 pounders, and
wow,
I probably caught the biggest bag that I've ever caught out there, you know, well over 30 pounds. So it's been really impressive this spring.
Holy mackerel, that is incredible. You see, a lot of people wouldn't think that there's that kind of weight out there, you know, when you're talking about Idaho as far north as it is and so on. But that is really impressive. And not a ton of bass pressure, right? I mean, would you consider it, you know, compared to what you see when you're on the Tennessee River or some of these, you know, and then, you know, in the Northeast and places like that, not nearly the pressure that you see from bass fishermen?
No, it's definitely nowhere near what the Tennessee River sees, you know, up and down that chain. But it is probably tenfold what it was when I used to fish tournaments around here.
Right.
It has gained a lot of popularity, and it's gotten a lot busier over the years. But it's handling it pretty well. You can tell that it's definitely changing the fishery slightly, because we don't have the large population of fish that a lot of the Tennessee River does either.
Right, right.
And so it's all kind of relative. And it you see it taking small effects here and there, but it's definitely, I mean, it's still good.
Yeah.
Still great fishery. And, I mean, when I talk, it's busy on the lake. There's like 40 or 50 boats on the lake.
Yeah, 40 or 50 boats. There's 40 or 50 boats at the ramp at Goose Pond. Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
Rapala Pro Brandon Polinick with us. And, you know, the big part of your guys' jobs, it's not just tournaments. We see the tournaments, but it's also all of the shows and the appearances, and you're taking folks out, you know, and from the various sponsors and things like that. So all of that dried up, really. So it's been more than just not fishing tournaments. It's the business of being Brandon Polinick has been shut down, right?
Yeah, we've really had to start to get creative with, you know, our certain sponsors to still be able to create some content, bring that value. Because normally this time of year, you know, we're full-fledged tournament season and everything is kind of built around that revolving tournament scene. And without that, we've had to really just kind of come up with clever ideas here and there. And then it makes it tricky too, because we can't travel to each other and get together, right? We can't have a media event. So we've had to create a lot of that media on our own. But it's also opened up a lot of opportunities to do things or different ideas that we've talked about that we haven't been able to act on because we've been so busy. So there is some good opportunities that come from it.
Yeah, no, it certainly has been different opportunities. And I would imagine the folks saw your boat and your rig and your setup there at Bassmaster.com. But a lot of time, have you spent additional time, I should say, this year going through gear, re-rigging stuff and, you know, taking care of all of those types of things?
Yeah, I've really been able to do a lot more maintenance type stuff on my gear, which has been nice. You know, normally if I need an oil change on my Yamaha, I've got to take it to a dealer because I don't have time. So I'll just, when I don't need my boat and I got something else going on, I'll drop it off. But I've actually been able to do my own oil changes and change my gear lube and work on tackle and kind of organize things. And that's been really nice. And I've just been able to get stuff done around home that I haven't been able to do for a long time.
Yeah. Let's talk a little Rapala. You know, they're one of our sponsors as well. And I got a little goodie box that showed up not too long ago with some BX Big Brats, you know, that square bill. It's square bill season over here. It's always square bill season for me. I feel like there's like a rule. If I go through a day and on the water and not throw a square bill at some point in time, I'm doing something wrong. But just talk about that bait. It seems like such a well-built bait. And you know, some people might think it's too big when they look at that, the big brat compared to the brat. But your thoughts on it and what kind of conditions you like to use it in?
Yeah, really, in most parts of the country, we're coming right into the prime time season for that big brat to come into play. Mm-hmm. As a lot of these fish come off of the spawn, they're going to want a big meal. They want to start feeding up, and they want to feed up quick because the water's warming up, their metabolism is kicking into high gear, and they need a big meal. And they're still in that transition where they haven't moved all the way out, you know, offshore, deeper stuff. And so this is a great time to throw that big Rapala BX Brat. And for me, keep the color simple. You know, try to stick with a lot of your shad patterns. If you got dirty water, you know, throw a little chartreuse black back in there. And it's been a really fun bait to mess around with because it has a lot of the balsa properties because it is balsa inside, but it's encased in plastic. So you get a lot of the durability and color features that you can get out of plastic baits. And so you really get the best of both worlds in that lineup. And that's across the whole BX lineup.
Yeah. You know, colors is a big, sometimes that's overwhelming to people. And there's only so much that they're going to necessarily be able to invest. So if you had to pick three colors, now over here, we got to have red. You know, we got to have the red early in the year for March. If you were to pick three colors, though, if you were to tell somebody the versatility of having three colors out of the, 15 color selections that there are for the BX square bill, what would be the three colors that you would make sure you have?
Probably Homer's Buddy. I'd do black, silver, shad. And then I would probably do
red.
The
red. You got to have a red.
I know. There's so many good colors. I'm like, I'll pick three out of the 15. Maybe the pearl silver shad. Because what I like to do a lot of times is I'll actually take a Sharpie a little bit. And what's cool with the BX series is it has a flash foil behind the plastic, but you're actually able to take a Sharpie and kind of color some of those up and change them. So you can take a black silver shad and you can add a little chartreuse or a little orange stripe to it. And it really shines through there and you still get those reflective properties, but you can change the hues of the colors a little bit.
Were any of these Brandon Polinick colors? Were any of these influenced by you? Where you said, "Hey, I got to have that Homer's Buddy," which, by the way, is like for our listeners, it's like a goldish, greenish type of deal.
No, actually, they came up with all those colors.
Nailed it.
You know, they came up with some great ones. That was all on them. I wish I could say that I came up with that, but. Definitely did not.
Yeah, no, they absolutely nailed it. And finally, in our last couple of minutes, you're known as a drop shot guy. You're always going to have a drop shot ready. A lot of people, they have it in their mind that drop shot means straight down, electronics, 25 feet of water, hard bottom, St. Lawrence Seaway, that kind of stuff. And obviously, it does well there. But you throw it in a lot of different scenarios. Talk about using a drop shot in shallower water around grass and those types of things and how you like to set that up.
Yeah, a drop shot is killer in any depth of water and nearly all times of year. It's not always the best way to catch them because if you can go power fishing down the bank, probably going to get more bites because you're going to be able to make more casts. But when those fish are maybe not in the most aggressive mood, it's a great way to be able to get more bites because you're able to keep that bait in the strike zone longer, even up in shallower water. And then also in a lot of places, even, places like Florida, where people don't think about throwing that a bunch, it helps keep the bait off of those soft muck bottoms. So you get in a lot of river systems that have a lot of silt or a lot of decayed grass and things like that. You get that very soft bottom and a Texas rig will disappear down in there. And so a lot of times if I need a light line applications, I'll go with a drop shot to keep that bait up off the bottom and give those fish just a nice, easy meal that hangs right there in their face.
There you go. Brandon Polinick on the drop shot. And there isn't a better guy to talk to about that than him. He'll have to leave in about 20 minutes to head for Eufaula for the first tournament because he's coming all the way across the country. But Brandon, we appreciate you so much. Looking forward to seeing you back out there. We'll see you in Alabama as this schedule gets going again. And I know you're anxious to get it started as well.
Yep, I'm looking forward to it, and we will be back to normal before no time.
That's right. Before no time is right. Brandon Polinick has been our guest. All right, we'll get a final break in and come back and wrap it up. This is Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
Final segment of Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio, and as we idle the show back to the dock, let's take a look at some news and notes from around the pond. Well, Marshall spots are available for regular season Elite Series events for just $99 per event, and as a part of the program at every tournament, participants will enjoy an exclusive dinner and a meet and greet with all of the elite anglers, as well as receive official Bassmaster Marshall apparel and products from tournament sponsors. Visit bassmaster.com/elite for Marshall registration. The 2020 BassPro.com open season is about to resume as well. Visit bassmaster.com/opens for all the info you need to get registered for this series. It's the highest level a co-angler can fish, and it's a tremendous way to hone your skills, learn from the pros, and maybe even make a few bucks as you compete against other co-anglers. This year's pro field is better than ever, so grab a co-angler spot now. And while you're at bassmaster.com, click on sweepstakes for your opportunity to fish with Bassmaster Classic champ Hank Cherry. The winner will get round-trip domestic airfare, two nights hotel stay, a rental car, and $500 spending cash. But wait, there's more. How about a brand new Basscat Saber FTD with a Mercury 150 and Garmin electronics, plus a pile of goodies from Hank's sponsors? Total value is over $52,000. And don't forget to sign up for Rapala Fantasy Fishing at Bassmaster.com. Each week's winner will win $4,000 in cash and prizes, $4,500 if you're a member of BASS. And this year, over 190 places will win prizes each event, and a grand prize is over $20,000 in cash and prizes. Just go to Bassmaster.com and click on Fantasy for rules and to get in today. And while you're at it, join our Bassmaster Radio group, where each week's event's winners will receive a rod and reel combo from Enigma Fishing, and everyone that finishes ahead of me is entered in a drawing for a prize package from VisitAnderson.com, Rapala, Missile Baits, and Phoenix Boats. Just search Bassmaster Radio under the Groups tab. Now let's take a look at the upcoming tournament schedule. We'll get things going again at the Bassmaster Elite at Lake Eufaula, June 10th through the 13th. The BassPro.com Bassmaster Central Open at the Arkansas River will be June 18th through the 20th. The TNT Fireworks Bass Nation Northeast Regional at Lake Erie is June 24th through the 26th. Then the New York Swing for the Elite starts at Cayuga Lake, July 14th through the 17th, the St. Lawrence River out of Waddington, New York for the Site 1 Bassmaster Elite, July 23rd through the 26th, and then the Bassmaster Elite at Lake Champlain, July 30th through August 2nd. Well, that's going to do it for today's show, and until next time, you keep those lines tight and nets heavy. I'm Tom Abraham, and this has been Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio